JC Corcoran Podcast.
Mm-hmm. You know, people looking for a New Year's Eve date, all sorts of stuff going on. I thought it would be sort of romantic.
No. Don't do it.
What?
No.
What?
I know where you're going.
No, it's not Christmas wrapping.
Oh, thank God.
It will be soon, though.
Well, his back's injured, so if he tries to play it, we can hurt him very easily.
Say, I'm going to apply pressure to this part of your body.
Yes.
If you push that button.
Well, right now, he can only move forward and backward. We push him sideways.
Pretty much.
He's in trouble.
Like a big whale.
Luckily, forward and backward are the only two moves I need, John.
Oh, my.
To stay happy.
That a boy.
So
that I got to congratulate you on.
Great.
So with all that in mind, I think it would be sort of romantic and in the holiday season, based on what we were just doing about a half an hour ago, to play back the Pat O'Brien series of drunk calls. Although these actually technically could be Coke calls.
He's high.
There could be Coke and drunk calls.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 minutes, 46 seconds. Here is the erstwhile host, who's been reinstalled at Access Hollywood, by the way. He did his 30 days. He did his Dr. Phil interview. Dr. Phil yelled at him for about 45 minutes. And then the last 50 minutes told him what a good guy he was.
Right. He's healed.
Made a nice one-hour special. What the hell were you thinking? You're an idiot. What the hell were you thinking? And the last 15 minutes, I know you're a good man.
Here comes the Oprah part.
It was a circus, man. So here it is, 2 minutes and 46 seconds. Pat O'Brien from Access Hollywood, working it.
To copy saved message Sunday 8:34.
Well, I should actually preface this by this is the woman's.
It's dirty.
Well, no.
Yeah. Warn everybody, you might feel like, you know, showering afterwards.
This is the woman's answering machine. So she's playing back these things for the media right off the answering machine. Mm-hmm. I guess it was supposed to add to the credibility to say, look, I didn't even touch this. I didn't edit this. Here it is. Here's the answering machine. Mm-hmm. Here's how they came in. So you're actually going to hear the time and date stamp that the answering machine puts on. All right, now listen.
So copy saved message Sunday, 8:34 p.m.
Can I just interrupt this for a minute? Does anybody know, has this ever worked?
I'm going to go with no.
This method, this
unless
style.
Unless you're buying somebody for the evening, it probably won't work.
I just want to know, has anybody ever done something like this, this graphic and this direct, including basically saying, I need you to requisition the other chick too. Has anybody ever tried this and it's worked?
Does it work? Well, you probably would have to be like a big old movie star. Not Pat O'Brien. God.
But he talks to movie stars.
Gross.
That's second. All right, here we go. Continuing now.
For a living. Save message Sunday 9:04 p.m.
Hey, it's me. You're so f***ing hot.
Not like, hi, how are you?
Just like, all of a sudden, not into it, but the three of us to get together, I want to f***.
Right, we know. Right.
There's only so many holes, Pat.
Yeah. Right.
Watch
you
and Betsy eat each other.
Uh-huh.
Shut my.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay.
Your face.
Lollipop. Man, how old is this guy?
So you get this message?
57, I believe.
Make you crazy. Okay.
And I know crazy. Let me know. Yeah.
I want you guys
to
make out.
Yeah.
Make out. What is he, 12?
He's
going to hook her and play spin the bottle.
7 minutes in heaven.
Let's grab clothespins into a milk bottle. Pin the tail on the donkey. So there you have it.
No, don't bring an animal into it.
And that
hookers so and great.
Coke, and that's quite enough. No animals.
He's so great. Why? Listen to this tape, everybody.
Yeah. Isn't he romantic? I think it's like so sweet that he says this stuff
he's
to me.
He's too good to be true.
You've got to hear this.
And he's so
he loves me.
Hot.
Pat O'Brien, man, back
God,
on television.
It makes me feel gross.
You can apparently do anything now. You just go into rehab, do an interview with Dr. Phil or Oprah, and go back
Cry
on television.
About it, and then
go
you're
back
good.
On television, and you're good. You can get away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on out there.
Yep.
Even with politicians, they say, well, all you got to do is say you're sorry anymore, and people will forgive you.
Yep.
We got to stop forgetting these
we
people.
We got a bunch of dumbasses. Yeah. There's no more shame anymore.
Start
That's what it
grudges.
Is.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no more shame. And start holding grudges. There you go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I tried
to bring us along those lines for a long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. I raised her like my own. Jen Sparks has finally come around.
We've got to start harboring more hate.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, April 4th, 2022, 227 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com. I would be JC. That bit, by the way, I haven't played that in a long time. I haven't heard it either, but it was it was funny for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was the way Jen Sparks was involved in it. She was on fire that particular day. You know, I don't think I've ever really said this on the air or on the podcast, but that was a very, very difficult position to be in for both women on the show because they're trying to maintain some class and some femininity. And we're just making the most horrible sexual jokes in the world. And, you know, Jen Sparks, when she started that job, she was like 26 or something. She was fairly new in the business and must have felt some level of, I guess the word would be intimidation, just because of how much older we were than she was and how long we had been in the business. And she held her own. She really held her own. She did a great job on that show. Every once in a while, I will get a call or somebody will send me a message going, whatever happened to Jen Sparks? I always say she was dating that radio guy, Woody, who was on The Point for a long time. They ended up getting married. He got this great gig in Los Angeles. They moved out there. They got a couple of kids now, and they seem to be doing just great. So that's the update on Jen Sparks. All right, JC's Home Opener Extravaganza, Thursday, right here, an extended version. Normally, we do about 30 minutes on this podcast. We'll do at least double that on Thursday. This is the show that we did on 1998 that is in the archives of the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. By the way, I picked up this very strange story over the weekend with regard to catchers. Now, you know, if you know anything about baseball, and most people in St. Louis do, you know what framing a pitch means. It's a borderline call, and then Yachty jerks his glove back into the strike zone to make it look like it was actually a strike. You're basically trying to fool the umpire. And you can really see it from the center field cameras. You'll see that a borderline pitch, you know, the catcher will jerk it back into the frame and try to make it look like a strike. Well, some organizations have said, yeah, you're doing that all wrong. And now, I don't know if it's going to sweep its way into the Cardinal organization, because there is a, you know, as you know, a Cardinal way of doing certain things and catching among them. But What some organizations are teaching catchers to do is to not put up a target, you know, because the pitcher winds up and you look in there, the catcher's holding the glove exactly where he wants the pitch to be, and that's supposed to help out the pitcher. All right, what these organizations are doing is they're having all of the catchers, while the pitcher is in his delivery, to have their glove almost at ground level, not because they want the pitcher to throw the ball at ground level. They want him to throw a strike, but what they do is, as the pitcher is throwing the ball, and just at the moment where the catcher is about to receive it, that's when he brings his glove up, and supposedly that is working to trick umpires into thinking that borderline pitches are strikes. Now, when I first saw it, I was like, that's a bunch of bullshit. And then you watch it, and it's like, no, they've got proof that it's working. And there's video to support it. And you're like looking at this going, shit, it's working. There's all different and varying ways of going to a baseball game. Now, a lot of people just want to see their friends and just talk the whole game. The baseball game itself is just sort of incidental. And it's like, oh, well, you could stop people on the way to the bathroom and say, what's the score? And people would have no idea what the score of the game was. They're just there to have a good time with their friends. But then you got people who go and they're actually watching the game, and they're watching the finer points of the game, the subtleties, and they actually like keep track of the score. It's tough. You know, Cardinals don't care as long as you bought the ticket, right? But just something to watch for, to see if this new trend, I guess you would say, in Major League Baseball is going to work. Anyhow, we get the big show on Thursday. Oh, and the weather forecast is mildly improved, even though I don't think it's possible really to, you know, have a correct and accurate specific weather forecast this many days out. But just for the sake of discussion, originally they were saying that it was going to be very rainy and pretty chilly, and now they're saying maybe there could be some lingering showers in the area of Busch Stadium on Thursday afternoon. The temperatures in the low 50s, that is an improvement. For the last couple of days, I have told you that I was on the verge of making an announcement, an important announcement, and now I have learned over the weekend that that announcement is going to be delayed by possibly as much as a month. Maybe not quite that long, but it's something that's not in my control. It's not in my hands. I'm just waiting for other things to be done before I can tell you what the new development is. So there will be no announcement that is imminent. I will let you know. And again, I'm not playing with you. I promise you, I'm not playing. I really thought we were going to be making this announcement 2 weeks ago, but that's just the way some things go sometimes. So I'll let you know as soon as I am able. I promise. And when I do, I'll explain why it got delayed. You may be looking around today for somebody who is on vacation, maybe with their kids on spring break in Florida or parts of the Southeast like Hilton Head and all those popular destinations for spring break. That is because it was a bad combination over the weekend, especially on Saturday and Sunday. You had the combination of the end of spring break with hundreds of thousands of college students trying to fly back home from warm weather destinations. You have the combination of that plus rotten weather in the Southeast and in the state of Florida. What was it? Southwest alone canceled 900 flights. American, 600 flights. Delta canceled 270. JetBlue even got in on it, and they had to cancel 500 plus flights. All in all, something like 3,600 flights got canceled. There are people sleeping on the floors of airports. The airline comes along and says, oh, well, we'll give you $400 to spend on a hotel. Yeah, did you ever try to book a Florida hotel? It's like $500, so you're out $100, and you're still in Florida. You're not back home. So there's people already saying, we are going to miss class on Monday. Not like a college student ever missed a class, by the way. I went to college. I missed a lot of classes. But in this particular case, the chaperones may be missing too. So what I like to do when I travel, especially if it's like a long trip, like a week or longer, I always come back a day early. Otherwise, I try to get up on Monday morning and go back to work, and I just cannot do it. Yeah, you're cutting your trip short by a day, But trust me, in the long run, that gives you a full day to sort of get reoriented and unpack and just sort of get yourself ready. And I found that it really makes a world of difference. Speaking of Florida, a father and his daughter are walking out of the Yankees-Atlanta game at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, Florida on Saturday, and they both get struck by lightning. You ought to see the mark on the girl. It's like a thing that went all the way around her neck. And then the father, his nose almost got blown off. It's just really weird the way when you get struck by lightning, it can travel through your body in, you know, all different sorts of ways. Both of them, by the way, expected to live, at least for now. Because as you'll recall, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, it was just a couple of months ago, we were talking about the really bizarre statistic about people who are struck by lightning who survive it, but at some point down the road end up taking their own lives. Some weird psychological phenomenon or something that goes on. It's like, man, you survived getting hit by lightning. Man, oh man. And then like 5 years, 10 years down the road, they take their own lives. It happens a lot. On this date back in 1997, I was in Los Angeles doing interviews and seeing a sneak preview for the movie Austin Powers. And I was looking at it last night, trying to remember anything I could recall about that trip, and I could remember nothing. I don't even remember doing it. And maybe you're saying to yourself, JC, that's not a good sign. You're forgetting something like going on a trip to California back in 1997 and interviewing people like Mike Myers and you don't remember any of it. Well, just remember, between 1985 and 1999, I took about 425 of those trips. So rather than just assuming that I'm having early onset Alzheimer's, I'm just giving myself a break on that one, because if you do 425 of anything, there are going to be a couple that you don't really recall the details of. But it gave me the willies a little bit last night when I was writing this down, going, Jesus, I don't remember a thing about that trip. I don't even remember doing the interview. Going back to 1987, I was emceeing a show at the Westport Playhouse for Roseanne, pre-plastic surgery, by the way, and she was pissed because TWA lost her luggage. So she was complaining about day-old underwear in a live shot that I did for Channel 5 back then. It's like, oh, and JC has Roseanne, the funny comedian. Oh, my gosh, this is going to be great. And she's like, I don't know. But wearing the same underwear for 16 hours. This is on live TV. Thank you, Roseanne. News director was really happy with me that day. And on this date in the year 2000 was my first day at 103.3 KLOU, back when it was still some version of an oldie station. That was a weird couple of years. I got to play the Beach Boys and everything, and I liked that stuff. I really liked that 60s music. Not the stupid 60s music, but the good stuff that came out of the 60s. And right up, I think 1969 was the best year ever for pop music. It was also the best summer of my life. I just saw summer in 69 and 70 particularly. Obviously, Saturday, I was driving along and SiriusXM plays back the old Casey Kasem shows, and I was listening to a show from the spring of 1971, and every song was fantastic. But that period of 69, 70, and especially 71, right in there, some of the greatest pop music ever made. Since you've been gone, all I've got is a band of gold. You know that stuff. That brings us to the Grammys last night. Well, let me tell you, first of all, if you didn't watch it, I totally understand. As you get older, you become more and more separated from pop music. You know, back when we were 30, whatever the case may be, you know, 20s, we were watching Paul Simon and Stevie Wonder and really, really cool music like that. Now, last night, you're looking in the crowd, and I think Lady Gaga was the oldest person in the entire building. Even in the obituary reel, you know, they're putting up iconic music figures that we lost last year. But the only time you heard a burst of applause in the crowd is when somebody having to do with rap and hip hop was shown as having passed away. Olivia Rodrigo, one of the big winners last night, 19. And then there is John Batiste, the band leader for Stephen Colbert. And if you were watching his show last week, they were really pumping up the idea that John Batiste had been nominated for 11 Grammy Awards, 11. And so he goes out to Vegas and comes back with 5 of them, including Album of the Year. And if you ever heard any of the stuff, not only is the music great, but there were some tremendous videos that were done in conjunction with the release of the album. It is marvelous music. It is outstanding stuff. And this kid deserves pretty much every bit of success that he has been receiving here in recent months. And I'm just talking about this on Friday, night after night, year after year. The music going in and out of the commercials on Colbert is just fantastic. I have not been to see Colbert in New York. I was to Letterman a couple of different times, Tonight Show a couple of times. But one of the reasons I want to go to see Colbert is because I want to hear that music from John Batiste and Stay Human in person and hear all of it, you know, not just a couple of seconds into the commercial and a couple of seconds out. I want to hear the whole thing. Paul Schaefer's band was absolutely outstanding. They used to play Down by the River as their warm-up, the Neil Young song. Now, I would say that last night was the first time I actually watched the Grammys end-to-end, front-to-back, in many, many years, because the music just gets away from you. You look and go, I don't know who these people are. But I have a 12-year-old, so when we are in the car, we are listening to her music. Now, first of all, she has a tremendous appreciation for classic rock and also R&B and Motown and all that sort of stuff. She loves that stuff, too. But when she's in the car, she wants to hear her music, which I listen to. So over the years, I've become familiar with a lot of music that I normally would not have, and I have some favorites. I think that a couple of these songs by Doja Cat, including Kiss Me More, fantastic songs. I sort of don't pay attention when they have to, you know, at some part in the song, they got to do some sort of rap or hip-hop nonsense, and I just ignore that, and I just listen to the musical part of it, but she's fantastic. And by the way, she got the biggest laugh of the night last night when she and SZA won the Best Pop Duo Performance for Kiss Me More. She had to motor up out of the stage from the bathroom. She told the crowd, I've never taken such a fast piss in my whole life. That is a quote. Nobody got slapped. Silk Sonic won Song of the Year and Record of the Year for a song called Leave the Door Open. Olivia Rodrigo, as we said, she won Best New Artist. Sour, Best Pop Vocal Album. And Driver's License won for Best Pop Solo Performance. Foo Fighters picked up a Grammy for Best Rock Stuff. Carrie Underwood looking great again last night. Girl's got some legs, and she knows how to use them. She won a Grammy for her gospel album, and I'm not a religious person at all, but some of that gospel stuff is fantastic. Yeah, and she really hit it out of the park last night. Even Louis C.K. got a Grammy for Best Comedy Album, of course. Unfortunately for him, nobody wanted to shake his hand. If you know what I mean. Good morning, everybody. I really liked the way they did the musical performances. You know, when you watch the Grammys, there are a certain number of people who actually do entire songs. And what they did last night is there was a lot of really set design and things like that. It was almost like they were doing MTV videos, but they were doing them live. It was really cool. There was one part where Billie Eilish was out there and it was raining, and then they were doing some of the stuff from outside in Vegas. I was really, really impressed with the production values of last night's Grammys. Brandi Carlile. There's a lot of people who had never heard of Brandi Carlile who just had the show on last night who will probably download some of her music today. God, is she amazing. They had some fun with the presenters last night, too. You know, normally it's some big musical star, but what they did last night, they had some of the tour managers come out and present. It was just a nice touch. It was a nice touch. But the moment of the entire night last night may have been the mandatory, obligatory obituary reel where they play some music and they show you slides of all the people that we lost in the previous calendar year. But last night they did this performance, and I would encourage, I'm going to find it. I'll put it on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. They had Rachel Zegler from the Steven Spielberg version of West Side Story and Leslie Odom Jr., who was incredible, and two other singers. And they worked out this thing where they were all singing different songs. You had four people on stage, each of them singing a different song, But somehow the whole thing melded together and it was remarkable. You got to know what you're doing. You bring out four singers and you say, okay, you're going to be singing this. You're going to be singing. And somehow it worked. It was incredible. Like I said, I'll put it up today because it's really something I think you'll get a kick out of if you didn't see it last night. And then the other highlight, clearly a big surprise to the crowd. We had heard that at the Academy Awards, there was a possibility Volodymyr Zelensky was going to make an appearance somehow on the Academy Awards. It never did happen, but it happened last night, really surprising the crowd. And what a compelling speech last night from the president of Ukraine.
Here to introduce a very special performance led by John Legend is the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky.
The war. What's more opposite to music? The silence of ruined cities and killed people. Our children draw swooping rockets, not shooting stars. Over 400 children have been injured and 153 children died. And we'll never see them drawing. Our parents are happy to wake up in the morning in bomb shelters, but alive. Our loved ones don't know if we will be together again. The war doesn't let us choose who survives and who stays in internal silence. Our musicians wear body armor instead of tuxedo. They sing to the wounded in hospitals, even to those who can't hear them, but the music will break through anyway. We defend our freedom to live, to love, to sound. On our land, we are fighting Russia, which brings horrible silence with its bombs, the dead silence. Feel the silence with your music. Feel it today to tell our story. Tell the truth about the war on your social networks, on TV. Support us in any way you can, any but not silence. And then peace will come. To all our cities, the war is destroying. Chernihiv, Kharkiv, Volnovakha, Mariupol, and others, they are legends already. But I have a dream of them living and free, free, like you on the Grammy stage.
Pretty cool moment. Estelle Harris died Saturday of natural causes. She played George Costanza's mom on Seinfeld. She was also the voice of Mrs. Potato Head in the Toy Story movies. Tonight, 8:20, Kansas, North Carolina for the NCAA championship game. Late night, Allison Brie on with Jimmy Fallon. Jake Gyllenhaal on with Kimmel. Colbert has Shaq and Mayim Bialik. Lisa Kudrow and Mira Sorvino. Oh my gosh, they put it back together again on James Corden. Seth Meyers has Leslie Mann. C.W. McCall passed away. He was 93. Mercy Sakes Alive, We Got Us a Convoy. That whole thing started as a bread commercial in Omaha, Nebraska, back in the middle 1970s by the people that you know best as Mannheim Steamroller. Before Mannheim Steamroller really got to be this huge, huge thing, there was just a bunch of creative people and musicians and everything that were doing television commercials and stuff like that for advertising agencies in Omaha. And somehow the core of what was going on in Convoy was used in the bread commercial. And then they're like, you know what? This could actually be a record. And the rest is history, because for a while there, for a couple of years, everybody had to have a CB radio in your car, and especially in your truck, or you just didn't belong. Speaking of trucks, Rosanna Arquette rear-ended a UPS truck. Luckily, her airbags were already deployed, if you know what I mean. Good morning, everybody. Birthdays today, Nancy McKeon from The Facts of Life, 56, Robert Downey Jr., 57, David Cross from Arrested Development, and Mr. Show, 58, David E. Kelly, the writer, producer of Ally McBeal, Boston Legal, Boston Public, Boston Red Sox, married to Michelle Pfeiffer, he's 66 today. Craig T. Nelson from The Incredibles and Parenthood and Coach and Poltergeist, 78. Clive Davis, famous record business legend, 90 today. And on this date in 2013, Roger Ebert lost his battle with cancer. He was 70 years old. Oh, and one more note about the Grammys. Kourtney Kardashian was there, but not Kim, which is okay because this show took place in Vegas and they already have enough loose slots. Good morning, everybody. And with that, JC's Lame Joke Festival comes to an end. The JC Corcoran Podcast, out of here. We publish at about 7 o'clock every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, right about 7, absolutely free. We archive all the podcasts. You go back and pick something up if you missed it. You may email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Back in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.